The Evit Bucket is a raucous, rebellious, rambunctious podcast intended for adults. We probably won't be drunk, but we are guaranteed to be disorderly. Further content warnings can be found in the episode description. Welcome to the Effort Bucket, a podcast exploring the realms of cybersecurity and our daily human interactions with digital innovations. I'm Alex Gallegos, a systems administrator.
Ashley Keske, cybersecurity specialist.
And Paul Ruppolo, cybersecurity consultant and now faculty.
Ooh, congratulations. And today is a first for the podcast. We've got our very first guest, friend of the podcast, extremely good friend of our co-host, Ashley, Camille Keske, who is joining us. Welcome.
Thanks, everyone. Good to be here.
And so we wanted to talk today about kind of a lighter topic. I'm just back from being on vacation. I had a lovely time. Thank you for asking. And I wanted a nice, light, easy topic today. And we got a little heavy on the previous episode. And so we thought today we could probably talk about scam emails, scam texts, especially scam phone calls. And I don't know about you, listener. I don't know necessarily about anybody else on the call, but I started a few years ago having fun with some of the scam messages that I receive on, I'm going to say, a more regular basis than I would have expected to receive some of these messages. And I realized that I am probably not the only person that goes out of their way to waste a little bit of their time. And I thought, you know, that's a nice light topic that we can discuss. So I don't know, has anybody else on the call taken the time to mess with any of the plethora of scam calls that they've received over the years, or do you just delete them, ignore them, and move on? Am I the only person who's deranged enough to continue to engage with some of this content?
Well, I'll say it's absolutely my guilty pleasure. To the point where I look forward and I get upset when they hang up on me too soon.
Oh, that's excellent.
Like, it really ruins my day. Right? But when they at least play along and listen to my entire spiel, it's just like an injection of endorphins. I mean, it just pumps me right up and I'm good to go. So, I take a lot of joy in that now. It used to bother me quite a bit. Like, I'd get just really pissed off. Like, I have to deal with another call. And I think just pivoting and finding some humor in it and playing along and has really helped with the situation, because they're not going away. They're just getting worse.
Yeah, exactly. And I've often felt that if I can take a little bit of their time, even if it's just 15 minutes, that's 15 minutes that they aren't spending with somebody's grandpa getting their pension siphoned out of their bank account and into some offshore account instead.
So it's a public service you're offering when you mess with these people.
But well, that's what I'm telling myself, yeah.
So you should be able to, like, claim that on your taxes, right? Like, you're donating some of your time to the public good. So,
I mean,
you know,
I think so. Yeah, that sounds pretty good to me. I'm going to throw that on and see if the IRS feels the same way, because I haven't done my taxes yet. I probably should have, and yet here it is, April 3rd, and I haven't quite managed it. Well, now people can figure out when we record our episodes. Oh, well, that's fine.
Actually, I think that the problem with time and taxes, and I don't think you can claim time on your taxes.
You can't? Oh.
Like, I learned how to do my taxes from Schitt's Creek. Okay. It's a write-off. Everything's fine. It's a write-off.
Perfect.
So if you're just tuning in, this is Tax Talk with four IT professionals for some reason. So you get, Camille, you get a lot of voice calls then? Because I've gotten to the point that I almost exclusively get text messages these days.
I'm getting a lot more of the text, like the real soft text, you know, hey, Bob, you know, I'm blah, or this is, you know, Christine, and how's it going? But I still get a ton of calls, like, and I think it's picked up for me, actually. Surprisingly, there was a lull there for a little while, but probably for the last month, minimum 4 or 5 a day.
Wow.
I don't know if that's a result of my shenanigans.
Or what did you sign up for that we should all know about to either be part of it or avoid? One of the two.
I do have Google. I have a Pixel, so I do have Google Screen all calls now, and it catches every single one of them. But now I'm selectively like picking them. You know, like if somebody actually bothers to interact with Google Voice or Google Assistant, then I'll pick it up right away, and then I'll start going into my thing.
That's perfect. So tell us what a typical phone call sounds like when somebody has the good fortune, misfortune. I'll reserve my judgment on which of the two it is after I've heard the story.
Yeah. Do you want to just hear the script? Should we just do that?
Oh, absolutely. Like, please.
I have a script. I've kind of like massaged it over time and perfected it. And
I love this.
It's constantly evolving, but okay. I always have a hard time. Like I try to do it in one breath, and I have to like, you know, my excitement catches up to me. So I'll see if I can fix that. But hi, this is Ron Johnson. I'm excited to offer you an opportunity I know you can't refuse. Now, have you ever asked yourself, why can't I find quality, affordable, responsibly sourced, bespoke, third-hand rhinestone dicks in today's market? Boy, do I have exciting news for you. Now, I've traveled the world sourcing the finest rhinestone dicks money cannot buy. Now, I won't bore you with the details on how I obtained them, but I'm ready to offer you a one-time deal on a sack of dicks for the low price of $29.95. Now, all I need from you is your name, address, credit card, social security number, date of birth, and the last known location of your soul.
Oh, that's perfect.
And it expands here and there, you know, it changes a little bit, but no.
Sure.
This is the latest version.
I knew it was coming and I'm still crying laughing.
Oh, that's excellent. Oh, I might need the transcript of that. I could absolutely employ that from time to time.
So, Ron, metric-wise, how far do you get into your script before they typically hang up?
That's a good one. I'd say probably like 60% will hang up by the time I get through, like, the first time I say dicks. That's usually the trigger. If they make it past the first dicks, they're getting all the dicks. And then they'll start typically asking questions. And then probably 50% from there will actually engage and start asking about the dicks and what they can do with the dicks. it gets interesting. It gets good. So it's always a nice like trigger for me. Like if I make it past the first dicks, I'm really excited. And then I start to forget to breathe, and I try to read the whole thing in one breath.
There are so many shirt opportunities with this.
There really are.
If they get past the first dick, they're getting all the dicks.
Yep.
Oh, that's amazing. Okay, so if you get to the end of that, what's phase two?
Then it's all ad-lib. And I feel like I'm getting pretty good at that, because if we've made it to that point, I'm jazzed. like firing. Like I am Ron Johnson, and I am trying to seriously offload these dicks. And I'm going to give you the best deal on dicks you've ever had in your life. Yeah, at that point it's ad lib, and I don't know. It's like I leave my body at that point. I just become this whole other persona. It's like Beavis and Butthead, you know, where I just like butthead a switch flips, and all of a sudden I'm a dick salesman.
Oh my god!
I'm glad you didn't say dick head.
That's every day.
Oh shoot.
Didn't you have when you were text messaging last night?
The text message was a little different. I've started engaging with the soft text messages now.
Oh.
That's evolving. That's very early in the process.
Before you dive into that, I wonder if it would be fun to dive in and text the political messages we're getting, just to say.
Absolutely.
Oh yeah.
Could be fun.
Yeah. this was gonna break me. This is great. And I'm not gonna have to edit this one much. I love it.
Real quick on the political text though, like there really needs to be a like I made the mistake of signing up through ActBlue because I wanted to donate some money to one person, and that's how they preferred it. Just do it through ActBlue. And guaranteed, that's how every single politician in the country has gotten a hold of my information.
Yeah.
And I can't I unsubscribed to ActBlue. I said, hey, stop. Here you go. Right? They're well known. Like they run like the DNC, you know, fundraising apparatus. And no, that's it. They're not sending me anything. But they've already published that list to a billion of their sub, you know, whatever, sub organizations. So it's over. It's game over for me. I'm done. Oh, yeah. Like I can't chase that dragon anymore.
Yeah.
It should be a law that if I unsubscribe there at that primary list, especially with like the DNC, then they should have to ensure that they're pushing that unsubscribe out to anyone they have given my information to related to campaigning activity. It's ridiculous.
I absolutely agree.
But that's logical. Yeah. And the government don't necessarily go hand in hand.
Absolutely. Oh,
and if you think ActBlue acts irresponsibly in that regard, I made in a fever dream moment, I saw a survey pop up on a website from the other guys. It was like, ooh, let us know if you think Donnie is doing a good job. And I was like, you know what? Donnie's not doing a good job, and I'm gonna let you know that. That wasn't a good idea because I don't think anybody was really looking at whether I selected 1 through 5 on my rating of the president's performance in late 2019. But what they did do was take all of my information, and oh my gosh, I can't stop getting the most unhinged emails I've ever received. Like, I'm guessing, I don't know, but I'm guessing at least the emails that you're getting from that side only have like maybe 2 font colors and sizes, but like the more you scroll down on the red team emails, the bigger the font gets, and it's like, oh no, we are well into crazy town now. It's, oh man.
Well, no, blue team's pretty bad in that respect too.
Like, really?
Honestly, yeah, some of these are just so clickbaity. They all start basically the same way, like, oh my god, the world's gonna end, and then like, you know, lots of different font changes. I'm sure it's not quite to the extreme, but it's all just clickbaity. It's super.
It's so ridiculous, and the thing that pisses me off more than anything else when it comes to political messaging, is these are the people who least need my $5 donation on Earth. Like,
I don't know. Donnie needs your money.
Oh, yeah,
like,
yeah.
He really legitimately needs your money.
Well, actually, right now, he probably does.
He's got some big bills to pay. I'm just saying.
Yeah, he hasn't been having a good week. That's true. But... Oh, man. Oh.
I do wonder, though, if there's anybody out there that, you know, new phone, new number, has signed up for nothing. They're still going to get the text.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, why else does it take us 6 hours in a damn cell phone box to get a new phone?
Yeah.
I mean, that's cringeworthy even of itself.
Yeah.
I did that with my family right after the holidays, and the guy took my wife and daughter's phone and said, well, okay, it's going to take about 45 minutes to do the transfer and stuff. You guys are welcome to leave. And I was like, yeah, that's not happening. You're going to, I don't even want those phones to leave my sight because I just met you today and I have zero trust in you right now.
Yeah, for sure.
I have a separate phone just for work, and that was a whole brand new number, but I still get all those spam phone calls and text messages.
Yeah, it just never ends. It just never ends.
So when we have our own island, we'll just have landlines that aren't listed, and we won't spam each other.
That sounds good. Yeah. Yeah.
We might eat spam, though, because we can't afford anything after buying an island.
And, yeah, you know, yeah. No, those. I don't think those are going for cheap these days. It's kind of one of the rules of islands, as far as I've heard.
We can talk to Mr. Depp about that and see how that's gone for him.
Yeah. Wait, does Johnny Depp own a private island, or is that just a Pirates of the Caribbean joke? Like, a
little bit of both. I think he owns an island.
Wow.
He does. Yeah.
Okay.
I think you're right.
All right. Great.
If you're an A-list celebrity and you don't own at least some island, whether it's inhabitable or not,
fair.
Are you really an A-list celebrity?
Just that's say. True. Yeah. Yeah. You're really fading into obscurity otherwise. Yeah. Gotta watch out. Oh, man. I have been making it a point to mess with some of the tech scammers for a long time. I've enjoyed it immensely because I discovered very quickly that the ones that send you a message with a false premise or a supposed case of mistaken identity, they very quickly have no idea what to do if you just play along immediately with the false pretense that they establish. And you're like, oh, yeah, great, yep. You've reached exactly the person that you expected to reach, and they don't know what to do with that. And that's become my new favorite shtick.
Do you have an example?
With. I do.
What you've done with said perpetrator?
I do. shall I read this out? Or, ooh, even better. I wonder if I can copy and paste this whole thing. Ashley, can I prevail upon you to play the part of Jessica in this little drama?
Absolutely.
So this is an exchange I received from somebody who purported to be Jessica. I've asked Ashley to read out Jessica's part for us. So Ashley, I just sent you a copy of all these messages. So this started out, the very first thing I received was a picture of a woman holding a white fluffy dog and just sent this photo with no other information. And then a couple of minutes later, a couple hours later, I got a message, from Jessica.
What are you doing now? Did you get my message? You haven't responded. Is everything okay with you?
Hello.
Jessica here. My aunt left my dog at your kennel, and I need to pick him up by tomorrow since I just got back from a business trip.
Hello, Jessica. I can look that up for you. May I have your aunt's name and the dog's name, please?
Oh my. I've just checked my phone right now and found out that I saved the wrong area code. I truly apologize for my oversight. Hope it didn't bother you so much.
No, you're fine. You have the correct area code, I assure you. This is Ron from the Kennel Club, and I'd be happy to help you get your dog back. I'm sorry for the slow response. We had some trouble with some of the residents today. A truck carrying 100 live chickens on their way to the Tyson plant overturned on the street just outside the kennel. One thing led to another, and, well, let's just say there was a bit of a kerfluffle.
Thank you for being kind to my situation. I just realized I had put the Colorado area code. Are you from there?
Yes, the Kennel Club has been a proud Colorado business since 1993. We'll celebrate our 30th anniversary this year. Well, if the media don't get wind of this situation anyway. So what can we do about getting you and your auntie's pup reunited?
Wow, you come from a beautiful city. Colorado is a great place to live in. According to what my friend told me about all of this wonderful and amazing tourist attractions there. No problem. I will contact my aunt because Mary is my aunt's friend. I'm Jessica, by the way, from Los Angeles, California. Have you been here?
Yes, it's a lovely place to live. Although sometimes I think about leaving, going someplace else and just starting over. You know what I mean? Los Angeles? Isn't that where all the weirdos live? Every time I hear about something crazy happening, it seems like it's LA. That or Florida. Of course, crazy things can happen anywhere, I guess. I'm gonna shoot you straight, Jessica. This thing with the chickens today, it was a real bloodbath. I think it was the screaming that was the worst part. Did you know chickens could scream, Jessica? I didn't until today. They just holler their little heads out in a blood-curdling mixture of pain and fear as the life drains out of their little bird bodies into the ground and into the jaws of a German Shepherd.
That's pretty good.
Yes, I understand what you mean. If I have free time, I will visit there for a vacation.
Sounds wonderful.
Yeah. Screaming bloody chickens everywhere.
Oh, if you get a chance to come here, let me know.
Yeah. Jessica.
I'll treat you to tea or coffee or thank you for your kind response and also interrupting your day.
So yeah, like you, it's one of the things that keeps me going.
I feel like in a way that's similar to an episode of Big Bang where I think Sheldon goes off on something and then Penny just goes, "That's what you got out of that?"
Yeah.
Yeah, where Alex just goes off on this bloody rampage with chickens and the AI that was responding was, "Sure, I come visit." You missed the whole point.
I got one. This was really short. I stopped responding because I thought there was at least a chance that maybe I was talking to an actual human being, and I thought, maybe not. So I don't know. Give me your interpretations. This person said, "I'm Isabella. Are you Shirley from Western Cowboy Travel?" And I said, "Hi, Isabella. Yes, this is Western Cowboy Travel, where we're excited to make your Wild West dreams come true. What dates are you interested in for your rootin' tootin' cowboy getaway?" Isabella just said, "I am interested." I said, "Fantastic. I'm so glad to hear that. Which package are you interested in? We have weekend adventures as well as 5-day packages. Dates are being booked quickly, so it's best to make your reservations now to avoid any possible delays. Will you be providing your own horse, or will you need to rent one when you arrive at the ranch?" And Isabella just said, "How much is it to rent a horse?" And I thought, maybe I'm actually dealing with a gullible human being. So I backed off and I didn't send any more responses. So so I'm taking a quick poll. Human or not?
Probably not human.
No?
Probably not. I might have thrown a number out there like $20,000 and see what they say.
Should have kept going.
Yep. Lost opportunity.
Yeah. Oh,
there well. Will be others.
That's true. There absolutely will.
It's hard to know when to stop, though, or when to continue. Like,
uh-huh.
We had one go for a while, like a good 15, 20 minutes, and I was getting tired. Like,
on the phone or text?
This was on the phone, but
shit.
Text, I don't know. Text, I might. Yeah. Stretch it out over a few days, see how long.
Oh, yeah.
Sure.
Mm-hmm.
And you could even be like, "Are you still there? Hello." You left me on red.
I am sad.
Well, yeah. And what we're starting to find out is a lot of these scams, pig butchering scams, they're called. Their whole thing is to try to keep people occupied for multiple days. So as long as you're giving them something, the odds are pretty good that they're going to continue to engage with you. On the phone, my ultimate goal is to get the person on the other end to hang up. And I've had very few phone calls, but I had one, you know, just the standard tech support scam. Where somebody called claiming to be Microsoft and said there were issues with my PC, it was being hacked, and it wasn't a very long call, but they called up and they said that there were issues with my machine, and they needed me to go out to teamviewer.com and connect so they could take a look. And I said, are you kidding me right now? And it got quiet, and they didn't know how to respond to that. And I said, how do you expect me to open up a web browser and navigate to any website? I told you when I filed the ticket that I can't get into Windows. I'm in an infinite blue screen loop. And they said, what? I said, you told me you were Microsoft support. Are you calling me back finally after 2 days for incident number 18924, or aren't you? And there was an awkward silence for just a couple of seconds, and then they hung up. So they weren't prepared to help me fix Windows, which was a real shame, because I just didn't know what to do, you know?
That's funny. Isn't there someone relatively YouTube famous for messing with scammers?
Jim Browning. He does. He actually quit his full-time job and engages with tech support scams, and then posts them to YouTube.
That would be a really fun job. You know, is he hiring? Does he need consultants to assist?
Great question. It'd be fun.
Maybe we ask. What level of debauchery can we get ourselves into?
He's at a point where he's actually gaining access to the scammer's machine and traversing their network.
Yeah. And I've seen a couple videos of him, like, actually getting surveillance video from inside the call center and, like, taking video and putting it on the scammer screens, like, oh, is this you? And like getting their real names, getting tons of information about them, and just watching them through their security cameras as they start to panic. And it makes me happier than it probably should.
Well, thanks. I think that's a great thing to be happy about.
Yeah,
like,
yeah.
Actually, like, yeah. Anybody watching it should be like, yes. I think Mark Rober, I saw Mark Rober, he did a video on scamming because he's been dealing with the glitter bomb thing.
Like, oh, yeah.
I think every year he does a new glitter bomb. And a part of that, he was trying to track down, you know, where these things go and stuff like that. Mm-hmm. And then that led to these scam centers somehow, and it became like the circular thing. And he did a collaboration with a whole bunch of YouTubers that specialize in like scam busting. Mm-hmm. That was an interesting episode. So I mean, definitely want to like go watch. It's really good. Kind of like behind the scenes. They made a lot of progress. They took down several call centers.
Yeah.
And showed how they were actively doing it. It was really sweet.
Mm-hmm. One of my favorite podcast episodes of all time, and I cannot recommend that anybody try to emulate this, but did anybody ever listen to Reply All when it was on?
Mm-mm.
Rings a bell.
You turned me on to that, actually, Alex.
Oh, yeah. There we go. Reply All did a two-part episode where they started getting calls from a scam call center in India. And so they did basically some of the same tactics. They kept calling back to the call center and made relationships with a couple of the people there. They tracked those people down on Facebook. One of the times they let the scammer into their computer and set their desktop background to be the faces of the managers who ran the call center to get their attention. And then all of a sudden the managers get on the line. And at one point they started talking to these guys. And one of the guys claimed that he was leaving the company. He was like, yeah, I got tired of scamming people. I really wanted to do honest tech support work. And he said, oh, if you ever find yourself in India, look me up and we'll talk more. And so they jumped on a plane and they flew to India to try to have an interview with this guy and see if they could find the call center, which not only is a bad idea because it's like, you know, nobody knows where you're going. Nobody knows who you're going to talk to, but also the person that said, I'm getting out of business and I'm not going to be part of the call center anymore, not only turned out to be still involved in the business, but basically turned out to be the right-hand man. So the analogy they made in the episode was, it's like you have a mob informant that says, oh, I'll tell you everything about the mafia if you just come meet me in this restaurant, and then you show up in the restaurant and the Godfather is sitting at the table there, which is basically what ended up happening.
With a horse head.
Yeah.
That's funny.
Yeah.
I mean, they'll pay off the local police. Like, they'll have everybody. I mean, forget about it. Like, they want to forget about it. They want to hide you. They want to dispose of you. Not a problem.
Yeah, for sure.
Crazy dangerous.
Yeah. And, you know, if we're talking about things being dangerous, I guess we should probably at least mention the fact that there's quite a few people that there's been a real shift, is the way I should say it, because especially before the pandemic, before 2020, there was a really good chance that whoever you talked to on the other end of the line when somebody was trying to run a scam was running that scam because they were directly involved in the profitability of making money off you if they were successful. And it seems like there's been quite a big change that there's now a lot of slave labor involved, human trafficking and slave labor. There was a story very recently on Last Week Tonight that was eye-opening. There was an episode of On Point on NPR that aired just this morning that went over a lot of the same information. Links to that will be in the show notes. Links to the Last Week Tonight episode will be in the show notes as well, because I believe that's on YouTube. And really interesting information, but it was surprising to me the number of people that you might be talking to on the other end of the phone, whether it's through phone or through text message, that are basically being held captive. Their passport has been taken away. In some cases, they've been beaten. They don't have access to their family. There's one that's talked about in this NPR story, just one person that responded to what they thought was a legitimate job advertisement for a translation from Chinese to English to help somebody expand into a new market, and basically got human trafficked, shuffled over the border into Myanmar, and held captive against his will for over 6 months before basically private military came in and were able to fortunately get him out. He is still on the run and living under a false name because the people that are running this scam, you know, it's a $75 billion industry. They have pretty much global reach. It's legitimately frightening that is happening. And so, you know, just a reminder, I guess, to anybody that decides to waste a little bit of these people's time and maybe have a little fun, you know, I think that's all well and good. I'm certainly going to continue to do that myself, but I am going to remember that there is another human being on the other end of the phone. Yeah, don't send those people lewd images. Don't just attack them. Don't tell them they're shitty people, because there's a very real chance that the person on the other end of the conversation is a victim of a criminal organization just as much as the recipient of the text message could be.
I'd be curious to know what the percentage is.
I would too. I really would. Because, you know, we still see, like, a lot of the scam call centers, especially out of India, where there's people that they'll go on record if asked or confronted directly. And there's people that have had very candid conversations with some of the callers. It's like, oh, yeah, well, America, you all have a lot of money and it's fine. And we don't really have any moral qualms about taking it from you. And I mean, when I picture somebody that's running a scam like this in my head, that's the person that I still have in mind, not somebody that's chained to a desk somewhere, you know?
Yeah.
But I guess the takeaway for me is every time I think I understand the bounds of the capacity for human cruelty to each other, it turns out I'm wrong, and it can get worse than I thought it could.
So I'm going to lighten things up here.
Please, please.
While we work on a transition, my contribution to the messing with scammers is not even that. It's responses to pickup lines. And oh. I have five. And
I'm okay.
My last one is my favorite one of all time. So, first one, are you a magician? Because every time I look at you, everyone else disappears. The comeback. Oh. Abracadabra. Now I'm gone. Next. Did it hurt when you fell from heaven? Not as much as it hurt when I hit the ground and realized I had to hear that pickup line again. Do you believe in love at first sight, or should I walk by again?
Oh. No.
You can walk by as many times as you want, but my answer will always be no. If I were a cat, I'd spend all nine lives with you. If you were a cat, I'd spend all nine lives avoiding you.
Perfect.
And my all-time favorite, how do you like your eggs in the morning? Unfertilized.
I'm on team. Yes, that is the best of the bunch.
Yeah, that's pretty good. The first one was kind of sweet, but then the rest of them, oh boy, it's like college guys first time away from home. It's like, oh, you know what's really gonna work? It's like, oh, buddy.
I really need to send you the Instagram account that it's a husband and wife. There they. It's some pretty great jokes.
I think fantastic. No, you're way underselling that. Like, this is the best Instagram account ever created. Nothing will top this. It is really ridiculous how well she delivers these lines. Like, expert level amazing. Yeah.
Who are they? So we can we'll throw them in the show notes.
I need to find them.
Back really quick to the unfertilized, though. That can go either way. Like, oh, so you're down with safe sex? Awesome.
It's true. It's true.
That's fair.
Green flags all around. Yep. Great. Mm.
Why'd you sit down? Because you said. I thought that was an open door. Yeah.
Yeah, this couple. Young... Oh, my God. Like...
Tara and Brian Ball. And they go on Instagram as Tara Blair Ball.
I hope you don't have plans after the show. Because this is all you're going to do for the next, like, 5 hours.
Okay. Well, we always like to end our episodes by going around and seeing if anybody has seen anything good lately, read anything good lately, watched anything good lately. Camille, you're our guest. We'll start with you. Have you seen anything good lately?
Yeah, you know what? I'll kind of like roll it back to the topic of the episode. So the new True Detective, really, really good. And, I really enjoyed it. I know there's mixed reviews out there. But they did touch on pig butchering in there cool. with one of the local PDs. So it is topical. And I just think it was a really good watch.
This is the one with Jodie Foster.
Yep.
Okay. Yep.
Paul?
Yeah. So disclaimer is normally I wouldn't watch something like this, but we were kind of scrolling through and found a movie called Flesh. Did I mention this before? Maybe. I think it's called Flesh. Hang on. Pause game. I have to make sure it's the right one. Because
if you recommend a movie called Flesh and it's not the right one, then it's liable to be a very wrong one.
Yes, this is the one. I'm going to restart. So if you want to ask me again, I'll respond.
No, I'm going to leave that quip that I put in. That's pretty good.
Okay. So it's not, okay, it's not Flesh. It's called Fresh. It is a 20.
I'm definitely leaving it in then.
It is a 2022 horror comedy movie, I believe. Oh, it is on Hulu. Sebastian Stan, who you may know as the Marvel character with the silver arm, the Russian soldier. And then Daisy Edgar Jones, who is fairly well known in the pop culture space, basically goes along with pickup lines. And maybe this lady would have been better off not listening to this guy. I will leave it at that. Although once you get about 20 minutes into the movie, you continually go, oh, my God. And then weird things continue to happen. End of recommendation.
Check that out.
I think the documentary that everybody's talking about right now, who knows if they'll still be talking about it by the time this episode comes out, but Quiet on Set, watched that while I was traveling. Another bummer, but really surprising ways in which, and it shouldn't have been surprising, but just the sheer number of ways that Hollywood exploits some of these child actors is just mind-boggling. I won't go into any more detail, but it's a rough watch, but yeah, it was also eye-opening.
I've heard a lot of news around that lately, but it's on the list, so I'll have to check it out.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
I've really enjoyed, we watched The Gentlemen on Netflix. It was a series. Yeah, where one of the sons inherits the farm and discovers there's a cannabis empire growing underneath. And Each episode leaves you hanging. Oh.
Okay.
I mean, Guy Ritchie, right? If you like Guy Ritchie, you're going to love it.
Excellent. Like,
if you love Lockstock, you're going to love this. Guaranteed. Perfect.
Okay. Speaking my language.
On the documentary front, one that I don't think I mentioned before, like many people my age, our age, I guess, grew up with Michael J. Fox and always appreciated him. And when he was diagnosed with Parkinson's, I remember him saying, "I couldn't be still until I couldn't be still." And they have a documentary on Apple Plus called Still that talks all about that. And it's just, he's an amazing human. He's done a lot for, you know, people in his position. I think that he owes a lot to his wife and his support team beyond money to be where he is today and still be around. I think that one's worth a watch because he's still genuinely the same guy, even though, you know, his motor skills and mannerisms just aren't where they, you know, hopefully would be when he's with, for someone that's his age, but he's just amazing.
Yeah.
Dang, that came out last year too. I can't believe we haven't seen that.
Yeah. It's one of those that kind of feels hidden. You know, you go through, it's like, oh, it's worth a watch.
Awesome. Yeah. Well, I'm putting that one on my list for sure. Well, thanks everybody, and thanks to all of our listeners for tuning in once again. And here it is, episode 4. We still haven't figured out a good way to sign this thing off every single week. has anybody come up with anything?
I have my own sign-off that I had said for years, and I just remembered it as a good saying.
Okay.
Remember, balance is key. Otherwise, you fall on your ass.
Ooh.
It's a good one.
I like that. I like that a lot. I'm going to steal that. That belongs to us collectively as a whole thing now. All right. Well, thanks, everybody, for listening. And remember, balance is key. Otherwise, you fall on your ass. Thanks for listening. The Epic Bucket is hosted by Ashley Keske, Paul Ruffalo, and me, Alex Gallegos. We're edited and mixed by Alex Gallegos. Our theme song is Limit 70 by Kevin MacLeod. Our special guest this week is Camille Keske. Thanks so much for being with us. And thanks to everybody who's left a review and a rating so far. And if you haven't, hey, please take a minute to do that now. Like, now. Right now. Right now. Unless you're, like, driving or something, and then I guess you can wait until you park. But otherwise, if you haven't, please do so, because it'll only take like a second for you, but really it'll help a lot of new people find the show, and that means we can keep making it, and you can keep listening to it, and hey, that means that we all win, right? And that's what we all want. So if you want to engage with us, you can find us on social media. We're on X at The Effit Bucket, that's EFF. Our subreddit is r/TheEffitBucket. You can email us directly at TheEffitBucket@gmail.com. Our next episode comes out on April 25th, and we hope you'll be there with us. But until then, these four enthusiastic amateurs with a microphone and a dream are signing off. I'll probably cut that down at some point.
You're good.
And insert first awkward pause.
Yeah. of which there will be many, and I will cut them all out as if they never happened. Yeah.
Editing.
Yeah, exactly.
Uh-huh. Alex is great at editing.
Yeah. Yes. Yeah, all you have to do is be prepared to lose about 25% of the runtime of the episode, and turns out it's pretty easy.